Welcome to Vermont Favorites on WBTV LP Burlington 99.3 FM. I'm Adam Rabin. Each week I talk with musicians, artists, performers, and creators about their unique journeys and what they love about living in Vermont. My guest today has found creative outlets in music, comedy, and fashion, and Dungeons and Dragons. She has toured half the country in a band based in Athens, Georgia, founded several Vermont comedy groups and shows, coordinated a fundraising fashion competition, and is conspiring with the host of this show to get more musical improv going here in Burlington. Please welcome Vermont favorite, Lindsay Haddad. Did I say that right, Haddad?
You did, yeah, thank you.
Excellent. I'm trying to figure out where that name came from.
It's Lebanese, or it's Middle Eastern.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Neat.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You mentioned it in your stand-up routine that it means, what, blacksmith?
It does, yeah. It means blacksmith.
Huh. I never would have guessed. So where is your family from?
So my dad's family, or my dad's grandparents, I believe, came over from Lebanon, and the family traces back to Syria. There's also a bit of, like, English in there somewhere, and then my mom's side of the family is pretty much French Canadian, like through and through.
Oh, far out.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a very diverse background.
Yeah, kind of an odd mixture.
And well, okay, you kind of answered how you ended up in Vermont. I guess the French Canadian side just came south for the winter one year and stayed.
Yeah, my grandmother moved here as a small child. I don't know when my grandfather came down, but yeah, it's. We're like fresh Vermonters, kind of.
Oh, yeah, just a couple generations in.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Well, I just moved here. I moved here in 99.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, I wasn't even born here.
You are fresher than I.
Yes. Yeah, there are many people. I've had about, I think you're my 13th or 14th guests, and it's been about half and half Vermont natives and transplants. So you were born in Burlington?
I was, yeah.
And just kind of lived around Chittenden County in your childhood?
Yeah, my parents there was like a lot of moving happening.
Yeah, so when you were, I mentioned at the top that you've done music as well as comedy and fashion. I'm curious where in your upbringing, you know, where did that come from? Were your parents performers or artists? Or just come out of the blue?
I mean, my dad plays guitar, and he used to play guitar for me and my brother when we were, you know, going to sleep, like, as a lullaby, or he would just play music. There was a lot of, like, music being played in the house as I was growing up, but neither of my parents are really the performing type.
Gotcha.
I don't think I've ever seen them perform in a public setting.
But they played. They had the inclination.
Well, my dad did. My mom is, like, kind of the opposite of me, so.
I'm curious, because your dad, you were saying your dad's side was the Middle Eastern side. Was there any of that influence in the music that you were listening to in the house, or were you still, or were you just listening to kind of like North American and English music?
Yeah, definitely not any Middle Eastern influence as far as I can remember. It was mainly just a lot of the Beatles and Led Zeppelin.
Well, what's funny is that the Beatles and Led Zeppelin, they each had big renaissances halfway through their careers when they discovered a lot of the Middle Eastern styles.
That's true. You know, yeah.
Led Zeppelin's third album has huge Eastern influence, and of course the Beatles, once you got to 1967,
right? Yeah,
a lot of George Harrison's contributions. Interesting. All right, that's, I don't know, true. Where I was going with that, but it's all there. The Beatles, yeah, those, that time, that, which is even before my time, to be fair, is kind of when those walls were kind of getting broken down between the East and the West as far as music was going. But anyway, did any of that, do you think the Beatles or Led Zeppelin influence rubbed off on you at all in the music that you started writing?
The Beatles, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, by the time I got to writing songs when I had my own band, I was sharing songwriting duties with another person, another woman, and we really tried to like craft harmonies together and such that were very reminiscent of the Beatles, I would say.
Yeah, this was Helen Scott?
Yeah, Helen Scott.
Yeah, I listened to a few of those tunes on Bandcamp.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very, I definitely got the, you know, you have your own modern style.
For
you know,
sure,
it's not like a retro band, but there were definitely some classic rock, pop influences there.
Yeah, definitely.
How did that, so that was after college? You went down to Boston for art school, is that right?
I did, yeah. I moved to Boston. I went to Mass Art briefly, and then I dropped out and moved to Georgia.
What were you going to Mass Art for?
Graphic design for a minute, and then I changed my major to film, and then I was I don't know what I'm doing with my life. I shouldn't be in college right now.
That's a good point. And you probably just went right after high school, right?
I actually did take a year off between high school and college, and I lived in Burlington and just kind of worked and tried to save some money.
I probably would have done better, probably would have had more of a college. I didn't get a four-year degree. I just went to art school and community college myself. And I think I may have had more respect and more interest for college if I had waited. Youth is wasted on the young. I think college can be, the same way. So tell me about your experience in Boston, because having grown up in Vermont, even in the big city of Burlington, mm-hmm. Boston must have been a big change.
It was, but it was a change that I had been longing for my entire life. I didn't always love Vermont. I kind of felt trapped here, especially when I was living in the more remote areas on a 5-mile long dirt road. I was definitely wishing for more civilization around me.
I understand. Well, that Boston will give you that.
So moving to Boston was great because there were more people. There was a public transit system. I hate driving. So.
Yeah. especially here these days in the middle of January. So you dropped out. What was the impetus behind just ditching that?
Well, there were a lot of things happening in my life at that point. Number one, I was, really struggling. I was living in Boston and paying for
really expensive,
living off campus and paying for all of that myself with, I was working full time, and it was just it was kind of too much for me. I didn't really, I was 20. I didn't know how to organize my time well at all. And so that was a huge stress. And then one of my cousins was diagnosed with cancer, and something switched in my brain, and it was is this really what you want to be doing right now? What if you were told that you only had 2 years to live today? What would you want to be doing? And I was well, not this. I would rather make art on my own or make music on my own.
So you did. So you moved down to Athens, Georgia.
That was inspired by the guy that I was dating at the time.
you wouldn't be the first.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're not the last.
No, definitely.
But why, what did you, Athens, from what I understand, I've never been there, but we think of it as it's in Georgia and we think of Georgia as the South, but Athens is kind of an oasis down there because of the college town. And we know what, great music acts have come out of there, your REM and B-52s and that kind of thing. So what have you found similar? What did you find similar in the South to the North?
Well, Athens is definitely a little liberal pocket in the South, although it's still far more conservative. Even, a lot of the students at UGA are, raised in very conservative families. So a lot of the students there have these old school traditional ideas. But the music scene there is pretty, it's I don't know, it was great. All of the musicians there. When you get that many creative people in one spot, you tend to find, more relaxed lifestyle, I guess, maybe. Is that what I'm trying to say? I mean, they do. And they have a lot of, they're big proponents of, small farms, local farms. There are really a couple of really great farmers markets in Athens.
Sounds very familiar then.
Yeah, exactly. So I kind of was this feels a little bit like Burlington.
Yep. So, because Burlington is that same way. The musicians per square mile in Burlington is kind of ridiculous. And I would imagine Athens was kind of that same. This is where we all get, if you're in the area and you want to get involved in the art scene.
Slightly fewer jam bands, but.
Yeah, well, there's a saving grace.
Yeah.
So so you played with, we talked about Helen Scott, that was the name of the band.
Yes.
But before that or after that, you were in Laminated Cat, is that right?
Yeah, it was before Helen Scott. That was my, at the time, my boyfriend at the time, his band.
Gotcha.
Which I ended up joining. He didn't ask me to join, but the other guitarist, songwriter asked me to join.
That's weird.
So, I mean, we were like, we all moved to Athens together.
Gotcha.
Like, the band and myself, and
they were all from Vermont or Boston.
They actually were all from Maine, and then we met in Boston and moved to Georgia.
Altogether.
We were like all living in the same house, so it was like one of those situations. Oh. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. It didn't. It was fun for a minute, and then it kind of
That would, like, go south, pretty, okay. so to speak, go south pretty quickly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I think about sharing a house with my bandmates, and I'm like, oh. And then if there was a relationship involved.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like a real challenge.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't, I don't know. I look back on those years pretty fondly at this point, but there was definitely a period of my life where I was like, what was I thinking?
Yeah. Well, if you, what did you think, what did you take away from that?
I don't know. I mean, it was a period of a lot of creativity. We made a lot of, I mean, we would just, you know, get high and play music pretty much.
Yeah.
I guess if it's legal now, I can say that.
Yeah, well, I'm sure there's some statute of limitations you don't have to worry about.
This is a while ago. So we were playing a lot of music. I was making a lot of art, and I think we influenced each other positively in that way.
You say made a lot of art,
mm-hmm.
Like other than music?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm a visual artist as well.
Oh, that's right. You were studying graphic design.
Yeah. Yep,
so you were taking that.
Yeah.
And you guys toured around a bit? Is that right?
We did. I don't know if you've heard of the band The Apples in Stereo.
Yeah, I've heard of them.
But the boys in Laminated Cat went to an Apple show in Boston, and they gave the singer, Robert, their demo CD, and he listened to it and loved it and recorded their album, basically.
Oh, far out.
And then we toured as a supporting act for them. Yeah. Which was awesome.
Yeah. So how far out did you go? Like, where were you touring?
We went from Kentucky, we went up the East Coast, and then kind of over to Milwaukee and down to St. Louis.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So it was just that one tour, just kind of looping the whole, eastern half of the country.
Yeah, unfortunately, there were a lot of personal dramas that kind of got in the way shortly after that. So
I would imagine if living in a house was tough, living in a van would be even more difficult.
Yeah, spending 3 weeks in an SUV with four dudes.
Oh.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even want to spend that long with four dudes. Yeah. What happened on the road? Tell me about that time on the road and at that age.
I was 22 or 23. So this is a while ago. It wasn't that bad, but none of us really thought to plan ahead much. In terms of where we were staying each night and should we have a daily budget for ourselves? Because we did get paid for each gig, but it wasn't much.
Yeah. It's not like you were managed by the Apples in Stereo guy.
Not at all. We didn't have a manager. We were sort of self-managed, but
you got the gig and then you just literally just followed them around.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and it was really fun to hang out with them backstage each night, you know, or on a day off, kind of meet up and do whatever.
Yeah. But, cool. And then you came back and you formed Helen Scott you had a partner, your writing partner?
Yeah, Emily Ireland is her name.
Yeah.
She was one of my best friends at the time, and we ended up living together too.
Living with your bandmates. What could go wrong?
You'd think I would have learned. She's awesome. She's immensely talented. She's a really great singer. And we had just been kind of hanging out and jamming for a while. And then we were maybe we should actually make real songs.
Yeah.
And so we organized an art show because she's also a visual artist. We were like, let's give ourselves a deadline. So we like had this one bar in Athens. We were like, hey, can we make art for like, can we have our art up this month? And he was like, yeah, cool. And we were like, also, we're starting a band. Can we just like play the opening of it? He was like, okay, awesome, sure.
It's amazing. A lot of times you just need to ask.
Yeah, it was, I mean, they were like, oh, cool, yeah, go
yeah,
for it.
Yeah, because the was it at a club or a gallery?
It was like a venue, like a bar, yeah.
Oh,
with
okay.
like a little side venue, like music venue area.
Gotcha, basically. Gotcha. Yeah, and you're taking workload off of their booking person.
Right, yeah.
You know, that's what I have found a lot. You know, even with some of the stuff that you and I have been talking about before, it's you know, showing up and, you know, declaring yourself is,
right.
You know, it's both the most difficult thing to do,
yeah.
But also
yeah.
In terms of the whole project, it's the easiest. It's the easiest way to get something going.
Yeah, it is.
Because it's not just going to come to you.
No, yeah. Definitely not.
Yeah. So speaking of starting things up, the repurposing project, was that in Georgia or was that back up here?
That was in Georgia.
Yeah. Well, tell me about that because, you just kind of mentioned it in passing. I didn't really know what that was all about.
Yeah. That's one of the things I think that I'm most proud of doing. Basically, a friend of mine and I were running this like Etsy store where we sold vintage clothes, and we wanted to bring it into a more local setting, because it's fun to like, you know, it's fun to sling wares on the internet, but it's more fun when you can, I'm like a person's person. I like to talk to people,
yeah.
And like be there and be like, hey, do you want this? I mean, that's not how I sell stuff. That would be a terrible way to sell stuff, but
yeah. Work on your pitch.
Yeah. So we were trying to think of events we could possibly organize, things that would be fun to do. And we came up with this fashion competition. It's basically like Chopped meets Project Runway, where we collected old clothes, and then we had like designers sign up, and we would give them a bag of old clothes and yeah. a few weeks to turn it into an outfit.
So it becomes kind of a challenge for the designers.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And with sort of this underlying message of, you know, that's sort of promoting sustainability in the fashion industry because it's a terribly toxic industry.
Right.
It ended up not even really being a promotional thing for our Etsy store, and it just became its own thing that was fun to organize, and yeah. We were trying to reach people who weren't necessarily already in the fashion scene in Athens.
Make it more accessible.
Yeah, exactly. Sort of bring people together.
So you did that for a few times, a few years?
We did that, 2 years in a row, yeah. And then I left Athens, so.
Gotcha. So it was, I'm trying to get myself into the event. So there's like a, it's just like a fashion show. You know, you got your runway and.
Yeah.
And how does it work? Like, do you announce, like, here's what they were given at the beginning, or. Like, what's the format of a recycled fashion show?
So we took pictures of each item of old clothing that went into each bag and, like, organized it basically in a slideshow. So as the finished product is walking down the runway, you can look up and see the picture of what it used to be.
That's great, because then the viewer can
sort of mentally be like, oh, okay. And, you know, the designers were allowed to, like, paint or dye stuff, so it wasn't always immediately obvious. But we had, like, a panel of judges who basically chose, like, 5 to 7 sort of semi or finalists, basically.
Yeah.
And then they would call them up, and they would talk to them on stage about what they did, like, how they made the outfit.
Oh, interesting. You don't get that at a regular fashion show.
No.
Like how you made it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I wanted it to be a little bit more of like a personal story because it is.
And I would imagine it also opens up the inner dialogue for the spectator to be like, oh, I could do that. You go to a fashion show and someone comes out with like this highfalutin fashion. You're like, well, that's great. I don't have $10,000, you know?
Yeah.
But, but if you see the picture of, oh, here's this bag of stuff from the thrift store.
Yeah.
And then that's how you did it.
Yeah.
That's really fascinating. Have you done anything like that up here? Have you?
No, not yet. No. At some point I would like to, but I've just piled on so many projects already with comedy that I like
we'll talk about that.
Trying to find time for like that was so much. It took so much of my time that
And it wasn't it, what's funny is that it wasn't even unless I'm confusing my stories, that you kind of fell into that.
Yeah, it wasn't something that I set out to do.
It's not like you went to school for fashion.
No. I mean, I've always definitely been interested in fashion, but I'm not, I honestly am not that great at sewing. I just like to see what other people can come up with, and I'm definitely a person who, like, combs through thrift stores to find different things that are, you know, like, unique little pieces.
Yeah, you alluded to that. I saw your stand-up earlier this week, and you, I forget what you said, you alluded to, because you were wearing something pretty hip on stage, not like your typical, you know, stand-up comedian garb.
Right.
And which...
I like the idea of a stand-up comedian, like, like uniform.
Right. Well, I'm thinking, you know, and I'm thinking like when I was growing up, obviously there were these stereotypes from the 80s and the 90s of what, you know, they wore like jeans and a jacket and like a, you know, a dress jacket with a t-shirt, you know, it's just like that semi faux casual business, you know? Yeah. It's just, right. and it's, you know, definitely the comedy scene has diversified a lot. Thank goodness.
Oh yeah.
In the last, you know, 10, 20 years.
Yeah.
But still, I think the fashion side of it has not really caught up, because I'm still seeing, like, there's a certain lack of presentation sometimes. It's like, you know, have a little fun with, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I know some people just straight up don't care, but I like to present a whole package, I guess.
Right. Yeah, it's important. I mean, it's still... It's comedy. It's an art. There's a serious art form behind the comedy.
Yeah.
But it's still showbiz. It's still entertainment, right?
Yeah.
So that leads us right into, well, not right into comedy. I do want to talk about comedy, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to talk about the big question of what brought you back to Vermont.
Oh, yeah.
Because I know a lot of people, they say, oh, I'm so sick of Vermont. I'm so sick of Vermont. I got to move away. It's so cold, or it's so this or so that. But, and then they move away, and I was like, yeah, you'll be back, you know?
I honestly never thought that I would come back.
Oh, really?
And then I was away for a while, and I started to miss it. And every time I would come back to visit, I'd think, like, oh, like, could I see myself back here? And in, like, the year and a half or so before I ended up moving back, it was definitely, like... It had been on my mind, but I kind of, like, pushed it away because I was dating someone at the time, and we were planning to move to Texas, actually.
Mm.
And then that relationship ended. And
so you didn't have to move to Texas?
No, thank God. Dallas, of all places.
Oh,
like, yeah.
Not even Austin.
Not even Austin. I know. Right. Austin would have been cool.
Yeah.
I've been there before. It's great. But, yeah, that relationship just kind of, like, blew up in my face, and then... And I'd already made all these plans to, like, leave my jobs and move out of the place that I was living. So I sort of, like...
Oh, you were really planning on moving to Texas.
Oh, yeah. Like, I was packing stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But I'm very glad that that didn't happen. Because I wouldn't have ended up here.
Right.
Yeah. So I just, like... I mean, I was able to, like, stay at my jobs, and I was able to find a temporary place to live. But then my full-time job, they laid me off because it was like, well, we can't, like, I can't afford to keep you anymore.
Gotcha.
And I was just like, this seems like a good time to go back.
So you, it almost sounds like you came back by default? Or was there...
I mean, a little bit. It just kind of, like, as everything was shifting, I thought to myself, oh, maybe this would be a good time like, instead of Texas, maybe I should still leave Athens, but I should go back to Vermont, because that was something that had kind of been calling me anyway.
What was calling you, you think?
So, I mean, family.
Yeah.
Well, all of my family's here. My brother, especially. He's, you know, only a couple years younger than I am, so we're pretty close. And
that's cool.
Yeah.
That's a great reason to come back.
Yeah.
So, you, what year was it that you came back?
This was, what year is it now? 2018. This was 2016.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's very recent. I didn't realize it was that recent.
Yeah, I've only been here for like, since like July of 2016.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So that leads us right into, I guess you started up with comedy at that point?
Well, I didn't start up immediately. I did. My brother and my uncle actually helped build the comedy club.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so they... So
what did you say, your brother and your uncle?
Yeah, my uncle runs has a construction business.
Okay.
So they, my brother got to know Natalie and Nathan, and he was like, oh man, you should check out the comedy club. It's really great. The owners are super nice. So we went to a couple shows, and I met them, and they were super nice.
Yeah.
And I... Like, my entire life, I've been wanting to get into improv, or at least take an improv class and try stand-up, but I was too afraid.
I still am, so don't feel bad. Every once in a while, and this actually happened just a couple of days ago, I had a bit came into my head. I a couple sentences with beats in between it, and
sure.
I was like, I'm going to write it down. I'm probably never going to have the nerve to go up on stage and do it, but I'm going to write it down. That's what I always hear. Just write it down.
Yeah.
Maybe if I get enough of those bits, maybe I'll get the nerve to get up there.
It helps.
What do you... Because it's still performing. You're still...
Yeah.
So you weren't new to the stage because of all the music time.
Right, yeah. I mean, music, and I did... let's see. I mean, I did a couple plays in, middle school. And then I took acting lessons in high school.
Oh, okay.
And I've been in a couple of, short films that no one will ever see, just because they were made by someone like me who
just like a student production.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
What do you think about your music training? I don't mean official training, but your time as a musician. How do you think that fed in? How do you think that helped your endeavors in comedy?
I think it. I mean, it absolutely helped me feel more comfortable standing on a stage.
Hmm.
If anything, I think I might have more stage fright playing music in front of people at this point.
Really? I'm totally the opposite way.
Yeah.
Because music, there's something about music, I don't have to worry about, I can hide behind my instrument a little bit. We're both keyboard players, right?
Yeah.
So, keyboard is kind of, in front of you. It's not like a guitar or a vocal where you're you're right up to the crowd. I get to stand behind something.
Yeah, I guess I've always been, anytime I've been at the keys, pretty much I've also had a microphone in front of me, so.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, but it's definitely helped me, for sure.
Yeah. So what was the first thing? So your brother and your uncle helped build, convert the old armory building, which had been sitting there for way too long.
That's what I hear.
Yeah. I think it closed down. I remember the sign for Shanana's, which is the nightclub that it was.
Oh, wow.
Back in the 90s, I think. And I'm trying to think. I moved here in 99, and if I recall, I don't think they were in business anymore by the time I moved here. Or maybe they were, and they closed down very soon after. So we're talking well over a decade of just kind of sitting there collecting dust. There was rental offices there. That's not totally true. They had some offices in there, and I almost rented one of them because I wanted to move my home studio elsewhere just to kind of get it out of the house because I was living in a small condo at the time.
Yeah.
And I looked at a couple rooms there and for one reason or another, I didn't follow through. And then 2 weeks later, there was a fire that burned the whole, whole part of the building down. So I was like, whew, all right. I didn't lose all my equipment there.
Yeah. Oh
so they goodness. Went in and they, so your family was partly responsible for putting it together.
I mean, they had a hand in it, I guess. Yeah. And so that, I think, definitely pushed me in the direction of the comedy club because I was like, oh, that's a really cool thing that's here now. This wasn't here when I was growing up. And then I saw that they, you know, taught classes and then I met a couple people at work where I'm working now, and they were like, oh, we just signed up for an improv class. You should sign up too.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. So I did. And I immediately, like the first day, I just like completely fell in love with it. So
right on.
Yeah.
Right on. Some of your like acting classes from, what did you say, high school or college?
It wasn't affiliated with the school. It was like an outside of the school thing. Gotcha. Acting for film.
Oh, gotcha. But that was your just kind of a preliminary, and then you were really getting into it with the improv classes.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I really wanted to be an actor, and then somehow that morphed into wanting to be a musician. But all the while, I've like had this just love for people like Tina Fey and Amy Poehler especially, and I, you know, knowing that they had a background in improv, I was like, that's something that I need to do at some point in my life. So,
gotcha. So how has you started up, what was it, Leftover Society, is that right?
Yeah.
With a handful of other improvisers.
Yeah, there. With three guys that were all in that same level one improv class.
Yeah. Oh, neat.
Yeah, so we kind of like moved up the ranks together for a little while, and then some of us kind of got off track and like fell behind a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, I fell off track and never got back on. But yeah. But that's me. So then you find yourself back on stage every so often performing at the comedy club. And I think you've done some stuff up in the North End also. Am I right?
I co-hosted an improv jam at the Off Center, and we're about to have a show on the 26th of this month.
Of January.
Yeah. Doing some improv. That'll be a really fun show.
Neat. Where is that?
The Off Center, it's
I'm sorry. Yeah, the Off Center up on North, what is it, North Winooski?
Yeah.
Gotcha. And that's on the 26th. What is that show about?
It's called Flask Improv Night because they don't serve alcohol. So
right, you got to bring a flask.
Yeah.
Oh, you're allowed to bring your own?
I don't know if that's the case. But that's what the night is called.
Gotcha.
So.
Gotcha. Well, that's the advantage of the flask is that you can kind of hide it in your...
It's subtle, yeah.
Yeah. Because really, I mean, the best audience, best comedy audience is a drunk.
Oh, absolutely.
Audience.
Oh, yeah. 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 Awesome. I didn't organize the show. I'm just in it, but
gotcha. It's
going to, yeah, it'll be fun. We've got a few different independent improv groups performing. And I think that there's an improv jam beforehand, so...
Gotcha.
Everyone can get nice and loose and then make each other laugh.
That sounds like a great evening. I should go.
Yeah.
January, I'm going to write that down, actually.
Yeah.
I usually leave my my pen and paper here to keep notes on like what I want to ask you in a minute or two. And I'm going to write down.
You're going to write down something for yourself.
Yeah, for myself. January 26th, Flask. So you put together Leftover Society. I'm very curious. Again, I'm going to keep coming back to compare and contrast putting a rock band together.
Oh, yeah.
And putting an improv group together. What are the similarities and differences? What was your experience in both? Because there's similarities, but they're very different kinds of people get involved.
Sort of. Yeah. I mean... people are just as difficult to organize, I would say.
Yeah.
I love them all dearly, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. Difficult to organize. I think it's maybe a little bit easier for a band to get excited about shows or to focus on booking shows, maybe just because that's something that's pretty established in a community. If there's a music scene, you know, if you're connected to people like other bands or venues, you can just be like, hey, I'm setting up the show, or like there's this band coming in from out of town, like can I just fill out the rest of this bill or whatever. And improv groups are not as easy to book. Not that I really have tried it anywhere other than the comedy club, but
yeah, it's interesting because I'm in a band and we really only have a few venues for mm-hmm. music here anymore.
Oh, really?
You know,
yeah.
Because there's, you got your Nectars and Metronome and,
I guess,
Monkey House.
I know they do music at Sidebar.
That's true. I mean, there are a few little, there are bars, right? So if you're, you're like a cover band or a jazz band, you have your established places you can play.
Right.
You got plenty of options there. But if you want to do something original, which I think is more analogous to improv, is that you're making something up. You know, people go to an improv show or people go to an original band show mm-hmm. not knowing exactly what they're going to get.
Right.
I've played in a cover band.
Yeah.
And we did all 80s covers and everyone knew, I mean, we could play anywhere we wanted.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, great, we're going to get a bunch of people dancing to Come On, Eileen, and Hit Me With Your Best Shot.
Yes.
It's a known quantity.
Yeah.
But with improv, it's like, are they going to be, what are we getting into? It's by its nature unknown.
Yeah, exactly. For everyone.
Yeah. So you get that kind of original band dynamic.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to booking. And you mentioned you did a show at the Lamp Shop.
The stand-up show, yeah.
Yeah, and then there's also the Off Center, which mm-hmm. Different groups have done stuff there.
Yeah, I know the group Slinky Says Relax, they mm-hmm. put together a show there. I'm definitely interested in pursuing that as a venue as well, because I love the comedy club, but they sort of have...
It's a finite number of nights.
Yeah, exactly. There are only so many nights that you can have an improv show and...
Yeah, what I was getting at, though, is between, I'm going to see if I can rattle this off, you got Monkey House, you got your mm-hmm. Off Center, mm-hmm. Lamp Shop, Vermont Comedy Club, and I've possibly even Arts Riot. The number of venues for comedy is almost comparable to where an original band could play around town.
Yeah.
That wasn't the case 4 years ago.
No.
No, or even... less, even fewer, 2 or 3 years ago. It seems to be the booming, definitely in a boom, the comedy.
The comedy scene,
Yeah. Getting back to, putting an improv troupe together. It was fun. You reminded me of something I always say to myself, which is my favorite part of being in a band mm-hmm. is other musicians, playing with other musicians. Mm-hmm. The worst part about being in a band
is other musicians. It's the same for an improv troupe.
You got your egos, you got your
I guess the main one of the biggest differences between musicians and improvisers is the ego. With musicians, it's like everyone's chock full of ego, it's all like, well, this is my song, so we're gonna play it this way. And with improvisers, I mean, you ideally are bringing no ego to the stage because
you can't.
You have to support each other. You have to be willing to just drop whatever it was that you were doing or what you thought that was going to happen and, say yes to the other person.
Hmm. Very true.
So I think that's maybe why I like improv a little bit more.
Yeah.
It's a little more forgiving and supportive.
I think that's kind of what's drawing me over to that side as well is I've done like piano accompanied a few times, twice, literally. Mm-hmm. And it's that same thing as it's like, I don't know what songs we're playing, but whatever they start singing, I need to start playing. And whatever I start playing, they're going to start singing.
Yeah.
And flubs or no flubs, it's like whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it happens in the moment. And then it's gone.
Yeah.
That's another difference that I'm finding about improv and original bands is you don't record. It is essentially the moment that you're serving.
Yeah. It's a nice sort of reminder, I guess, maybe, that everything's temporary.
There's something very zen about it.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
Fair enough. What else was going to... Oh, and you're doing... Hop characters?
Yeah.
What? I haven't seen that yet, but I definitely want to go to that. Improv for beer nerds.
Yeah.
How does beer intersect with what you do there?
So that's me sort of forcing the beer world and improv to come together because those are two things that are heavy influences in my life right now, yeah. I guess. I mean, I'm working at Farmhouse and it's, we have a, 36 draft lines. And so I've just been learning so much about beer since I have been there.
Yeah.
And
well, you came back to Vermont at the right time. That's
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. All yeah. these breweries. So I just, there's like a huge beer nerd scene here. No really offense is. To those nerds, but
I don't think they would take any offense of being called a beer nerd.
Yeah.
It's a badge of pride these days.
so I thought it would be fun. I mean, my dad was a home brewer for a while. So I've just kind of grown up with that being a part of my life. So I wanted to bring those things together. So basically the show is we bring someone who, like a local beer enthusiast or a brewer or, someone who knows a lot about beer, we bring them on stage and talk to them, and then we do improv based off of what they have to say.
I gotcha.
You know?
All right. That'll be fun.
Yeah. We've only had one show so far, but it's going to be, I think, a quarterly thing at the Comedy Club. So probably the next one will be in like March or April.
Definitely keep an eye out for that.
Yeah.
And the other thing, which is something that I kind of stepped up and got myself involved with that you're doing, is improvised weapons.
Yes.
So there's so many questions I have for you on that.
Okay.
Is the first question is do you have any history with Dungeons and Dragons before improvised weapons?
I played it as a child.
Gotcha.
And then I hadn't played in like 20 years or something, yeah. maybe even
more
than
that. I should say for those listening, Improvised Weapons is a podcast. It's a real-time play, Dungeons and Dragons play, and the players, you and three mm-hmm. others, act out your character parts as like in character.
Yeah.
Like as if it was improvised. Well, I mean, because it's improvised.
Yeah.
But you stay in character and not just, roll the dice and talk
yeah.
about it.
I mean, so, occasionally we'll like step outside of the character, but we do.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
We definitely try to like make it entertaining.
Yeah. And it is. I'm subscribed to it. So tell me about how you got involved in that. And you said you played as a child and then you're kind of picking it back up again.
Yeah, so my dad and my brother and I used to play, and I don't really remember much from those days, yeah. but I do remember really enjoying it. I like playing games in yeah. general, and especially storytelling sort of based games. That's fun.
Interesting, yeah.
I guess I was in a sketch show with all of the cast of Improvised Weapons, except for Aaron. So when Aaron was leaving, Sam was like, hey, yeah. we thought that you might be a good addition to the podcast. So we had sort of like a one-off game just to kind of see if we would all vibe. And we definitely did because I'm friends with all of them.
Yeah.
They're awesome
bunch.
People. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's super. Again, the whole thing about stepping up and just saying something. I listened to it a few times.
Yeah.
And Sam had this like canned computer music that he
yeah.
had.
And I was like, I remember that.
Yeah. And I was like, I could probably write something. So I just wrote to him. You know, it's
yeah.
that same thing of like, hey, you want a new theme song? And he's like, sure. no one says no.
Yeah.
Especially in the improv community, it's always yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, also the theme song that you wrote is just so epic and perfect.
Thank you. Thank
yeah.
you. He said, I said, so what do you want? And he said, it needs to be epic and adventurous or adventurous and victorious or something like that. And I was like, I can work with that.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was great. He was super excited about it. I think yeah. I like ran into him at the comedy club. He's like, you got to hear this. It's like, okay.
That's great to hear.
Yeah.
I wasn't fishing.
No,
but
no.
I love hearing that.
Yeah.
Because I had a lot of fun writing that. Like, because it's very simple. And I was like, as soon as I played it, I was just thinking like those shots in Lord of the Rings, in the Lord of the Rings trilogy, where like you
yes.
could tell there's like a helicopter flying over a mountain and there's like three or four of the guys kind of walking across the field. And I was
yeah.
like, yes, what would be the music there? So you guys are having a lot of fun. You're up to like the 30th episode or so of that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
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 Were you, well, that's right. You weren't in it from the beginning, were you?
No, I think my character comes on around episode 20 maybe.
Gotcha.
So I've been on for like 10 episodes or so.
Yeah.
But it's so much fun.
Gotcha. Well, what I want to do now is switch over to asking you a few more things about, Vermont.
Okay.
And I think if I know where this first question is going, it'll be a nice segue from the improvised weapons discussion.
Yeah.
So I ask everyone that comes on four of their favorite things about Vermont, specific things. So the first question I'm going to ask you is, who is your favorite Vermonter?
Yeah, I think I wrote down Nicole Sisk, who is my castmate on Improvised Weapons.
Yeah.
She's also a stand-up comedian, and she's just so smart and so hilarious. She's a good friend, but just really, I think she was like one of my main inspirations for starting stand-up.
Yeah.
Or starting to do stand-up, because I saw her do it a couple of times, and I was like, she's so funny, maybe I can do that too.
Yeah.
And I just love her dearly, so.
That's a great answer. You don't need to qualify that. So you started doing stand-up recently, or how recently?
I first did stand-up last May.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been less than a year.
Yeah, that's still something that absolutely terrifies me. I've seen the different things that are offered at Vermont Comedy Club. I was like, yeah, improv is fun, and I can get sketch, because there's that songwriter side of me that gets the sketch comedy idea, which is, you write something, you compose it, you tweak it, you try it.
Right.
And then when it's where you want it, then you do it in front of people.
Mm-hmm.
But the stand-up, there's something about that that is just like next level guts.
I mean, stand-up seems like it's essentially the same thing as sketch, but it's just like a one-person sketch almost. Yeah.
How are you finding that journey?
I love it.
Excellent.
Yeah. I don't know. It's I'm having a lot of fun with it. I'm having a lot of fun sort of finding my stand-up voice and just really like letting myself be. Like, I basically just turn up the goofy and twisted parts of my humor, and then that's
right.
Like, that's what I write.
What,
I guess.
What do you think you're what part of you, what need that you have, do you think you're feeding with stand-up? What,
oh my goodness,
what's the compulsion?
Well, that's the ego that I leave behind,
in improv.
When I lose my ego in improv, it's like I have to fulfill that somehow. So I guess that's stand-up.
Gotcha. Awesome.
I haven't completely left that part of me behind.
Yeah, I appreciate your honesty. Yeah. Tell me about your favorite Vermont place.
Oh, goodness. I don't remember what I said for this, but I think it was maybe my grandmother's house.
Yeah.
Which is in Williston. I won't give you the address.
It's okay.
But it's just, it's like on what was my grandfather's farm. It's now my uncle's farm. It's this big house. It's where the family gathers far too often. And so it's, I've lived there on a couple of occasions, and it's just, every time I step in there, I'm like, oh, this is home.
Yeah. Well, that's great.
Yeah.
It's going back to what you were saying about why you were looking forward to moving back.
Yeah.
It's ultimately where you're from.
Yeah.
Right down to the very house.
Yeah.
Your favorite Vermont memory?
Oh,
I think you had mentioned something about
the farm,
The farm itself.
Yeah, so my favorite Vermont memory is probably running around on that farm as a child. Just, I don't think I ever wore shoes. Probably wasn't wearing much clothing most of the time. I don't even know.
Yeah. That's a good thing about being a kid. I mean, this was when you were a kid, right?
Yeah. This is like a very small child.
It wasn't last week.
No, this is not last week.
That would have been weird.
Too cold for that.
Yeah, way too cold.
No, not a nudist. But yeah, running around, I mostly would try to either make up stories, like adventures, and act them out.
Yeah.
And sort of force my brother and my cousins to play along with me, because I was
so
the oldest
D&D.
Of our right. Or I just was like, all right, we're doing Jumanji today. And
nice.
Yeah.
Which again, you get that adventure. How could you have not joined Improvised Weapons? Right.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's great. All right. So now the real questions, which is kind of a two-parter, which I actually might start doing as two separate questions in the future. And that is your favorite Vermont food or drink. And you gave me one of each, food and a drink.
Yeah. Gosh, what did I... Oh, yeah, for food, let's see. I just went to Hen of the Wood with a bunch of friends, and we had like oysters and the Parker House rolls and the steak tartare, and that was, oh my God, so good. Yeah. There's so much good food here. Yeah. It's absurd.
Yeah, I've been to Hen of the Wood a few times.
Yeah.
There's not a lot I can eat there as a vegetarian.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah,
the few things I have had there have been like, oh my goodness. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I have a second choice for this question.
I'll allow it.
Okay. The mac and cheese hot dog pancakes from Butch and Babes.
Where's Butch and Babes?
Oh my God. Oh, it's like right near the Off Center. It's on North Winooski.
Oh man, I need to say that again. Say that all, because that was a compound word.
So they have mac and cheese pancakes, and then there's like a mac and cheese hot dog pancake, and they serve it with this habanero maple syrup, and it's so amazing. Yeah. Wait, so
Butch,
amazing.
Butch and Babes.
Butch and Babes. Check it out.
Okay, so
it's like one of my favorite restaurants right
for,
now.
For January. my wife and I are doing a cleanse, like a sugar cleanse. It's not really Whole 30 because we're vegetarian, so Whole 30 won't work for us. But we're not doing any like processed food. We're not doing any wheat, you know, based things, no bready, doughy stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, what we're doing now is we're planning, okay, what's going to be our first breakfast? Or what's going to be our first meal on February 1st?
Oh, man.
And I was looking at like a diner up on Mallet's Bay. Now I'm thinking,
Butch and Weaves has a really great brunch too.
Mac and cheese
or
pancakes.
Mac and cheese pancakes, yeah.
That has just blown my mind.
It's, yeah.
Your favorite Vermont drink?
Let's see. What did I say? I said...
Talk about some light tart
beers.
Yeah,
light tart beers. Those are my favorite. Give me a good Berliner Weiss any day. But I think like the Zero Gravity Goza and the Lost Nation, the Wind.
Oh, yep.
The Wind is so good.
Yeah, I've just discovered Lost Nation recently. Someone bought me a gift of a pack of, oh man, I'm forgetting. I think it was a Goza.
The Lost Nation Goza?
Lost Nation's Goza, which has, coriander, is that right? And it's just like, who puts coriander in beer? And I'm drinking, it's like, oh, smart people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like the traditional Goza, I believe. It's just like a wheat ale that's brewed with coriander and salt.
Gotcha. I guess I had never, I just never had that before, but it just totally made sense. It's just one of those things I look at. I was like, how can that make sense? And you taste it, and you're like,
oh, that makes sense.
It totally makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's
good.
Very tasty, not too overwhelming, like an IPA.
Yeah.
And it won't weigh you down. Like I'm more of like an ale and a stout guy.
Ooh, oh yeah.
Because it's kind of more the season.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And I've never, so when the summer comes around and you're thinking about like lighter stuff, that's what I go for. I was like, I don't like Pilsners. I don't like, you know, the Bud Coors kind of, even if it's well made or, you know, Sam Adams is like my baseline, you know, I can do that sometimes. So Lost Nation's The Wind. That's a good answer.
Mm-hmm.
We have a few minutes left. And I usually end on that, but you and I, we're recording this, a week before it airs, and we're going to, you and I are going to meet up a little later to take on the next frontier, which is musical improv.
Yes, I'm so,
so
excited.
We're combining the worlds, right, of our rock band pasts and our current interest in comedy.
Yeah.
What are you looking forward to about it? What is it? I mean, I don't even think I need to ask you this question, but what is it that's drawing you to this format?
Well, I mean, yeah, it's just the marriage of those two awesome creative outlets that at this point are now like major influences in my life. So
what has comedy been for you since you moved back and you've discovered it? What is the role that it's ultimately
It's
doing for you? Not, you know, not any specific type, you know, sketch, stand up, or otherwise, but just the whole scene.
It's been, I don't even know how to describe it. It just has like taken over my life.
Yeah.
A little. I mean, like you can see how many things I'm doing.
Right.
Like any spare time that I have, I've pretty much dedicated to some form of comedy.
Yeah.
So
that's excellent. And and the music, we're gonna like jam, I guess is what you would call it, with a few others, and make up some songs and try some exercises out and see where it goes.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see who shows up and how it goes.
Yeah, I have no idea what to expect either. I know a few of the people that are coming by, and there's definitely a lot of talent, both musically and comedically around here. So
yeah,
I'm looking forward to seeing what happens there. Well, let me ask you this. How can people find you online, your different projects, different things you're doing?
Oh, I guess you could follow me on Instagram. I don't really have like a Facebook page set up yet.
Gotcha.
But maybe at some point soon.
There's the Improvised Weapons website.
There's the Improvised Weapon. Yeah, you can find Improvised Weapons on Facebook for sure.
Yeah, and then the Improv for Beer Nerds, the Hop Characters.
And that's Hop Characters.
How can people find out about that?
I mean, you can just, if you look at the Comedy Club calendar.
Oh, okay.
You'd be able to.
And that's VermontComedyClub.com, I think.
Yeah.
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 Okay. Well, thank you for chatting today.
Yeah.
I've been talking with Lindsay Haddad, I should say. I should reiterate. This has been a lot of fun. You can hear more episodes of Vermont Favorites or subscribe to the podcast at imadeitup.com. Information on upcoming guests is available at the Vermont Favorites Facebook page. Vermont Favorites is a production of WBTV LP 99.3 FM Burlington. I'm Adam Rabin. Thank you for listening. Take care.